are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we go, everybody. Let's do this on a Wednesday, October 9th, and a Thursday, October 10th, a Locked On Crossover Wednesday. Matt Derry with you, Locked On Lions, Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for listening and joining me in here today as we discuss the Lions and the Packers. When I mention Locked On Crossover, it is simple. The best day of the week, I think, is when we get to talk to the host of the Opposing Teams podcast. Today, Locked On Packers host Peter Bukowski will join me. Peter's awesome. He's been there with the Locked On Packers for a long time. And we're going to talk to Pete coming up in a little bit about the state of the Packers. Green Bay all of a sudden has a running game. Green Bay all of a sudden has a defense. And so Lions at 2-1-1, Packers at 4-1, will convene at Lambeau Field on Monday night. We'll get into it in a little bit. I'm going to update you on the injury status of some of the Lions momentarily. Today we're brought to you by Blue Chew and by MyBookie. Good news for the Lions. Let's go good news, bad news. Good news for the Lions is that TJ Hockenson was back at Lions practice today. Now, Matt Patricia would not say if he's in concussion protocol or out of concussion protocol, but was doing everything in individual workouts and drills today at practice, and that's a very good sign that the rookie tight end will be back in time for Monday's game against the Packers. Quandre Diggs, hamstring a little bit limited, but was out there at practice today. And the bad news situation is that Mike Daniels continues to miss time with the foot injury and didn't practice today. And Snacks Harrison, not accounted for, was not at Lions practice today. So a bit of a mystery on where Snacks was. Let's call it what it is. If the Lions are going to stop, Aaron Jones and this all of a sudden revamped, rejuvenated Packer ground game, they're going to need a healthy Snacks Harrison. Now, I don't know if Snacks is sick. Snacks has a personal issue to attend to that he was not at practice today. But at least for right now, at the time of this recording, Snacks Harrison, a little bit AWOL and a no-show for practice today. Devontae Adams with the turf toe. Matt Patricia made a comment today that he thinks there's no question about it. He believes that they're going to game plan for Devontae Adams playing. And you'll hear from Peter coming up momentarily about that. We'll talk about the Devontae Adams Darius Slay matchup for a little bit. But, TJ Hockenson, you got to get him back. I think he's going to be a big time weapon for Monday night. I cannot wait. I was talking about a buddy of mine. I mentioned to you, Nathan Litke, his brother Brandon. Talking to Brandon today, this game's exciting. You know, Monday night is going to be, as the young people would say, Monday night's going to be lit. It's going to be, a couple of heavyweights going at it. And if the Lions are going to be considered a heavyweight and have a shot at this division and for people to believe in them, they got to go in Green Bay and look the part. Now, do they have to win the game? It'd be great. But if they go toe-to-toe with the Packers and lose on a late field goal and play very well and lose by two or lose by three, look, 2-2-1, 2-2-1 is not where you want to be. You want to be 3-1-1. They should be, after this game, let's say people think they're going to win, maybe even 4-1. It's so important that this club gets off to a fast start, goes in there in Green Bay and establishes themselves. Because there is a portion of the fan base that truly still does not believe and won't believe until they go on the road and really get a big-time win. Now, going on the road and beating the Eagles earlier this year, I think is a good win. But Lambeau on a Monday night, that would be a big-time signature win. There would be nobody saying, well, the Eagles were without all those players. The Eagles were injured. The Eagles didn't have Alshon Jeffrey. The Eagles didn't have Timmy Jernigan. The Eagles didn't have DeSean Jackson. Right now, you look at this. Packers are pretty healthy. I know Adams could be out, but other than that, they are pretty darn healthy. So I'm excited for Monday night. All right, BlueChew.com brings you this podcast. Before we get to Peter Bukowski and the Lions and Packers crossover edition, we talk about Blue Chew and guys performing in bed. If you want to increase your performance, you want to do better, you want to satisfy everybody that you're with, BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue, chew.com. What is Blue Chew? It's simple. It's a chewable that has the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Cialis and Viagra. So you know they work. You can take them day or night, full stomach, empty stomach, whatever you want to do. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity does arise. It's prescribed online, ships right to your door, so there's nothing, no worries about going to the pharmacy and waiting, no more awkwardness, no going to the doctor, none of that. You get it sent to your house. You do it online. You don't have to worry about anybody knowing what you're doing. Plus, you get a deal, too. If you go to BlueChew.com right now and put the promo code LOCKEDON in there, you'll get your first shipment for free, and all you got to do is pay $5 in shipping. So that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. I Locked On crossover, the Wednesday edition. It is time to talk to Green Bay Packers, Locked On Packers host Peter Bukowski, Matt Derry doing Locked On Lions as we go back and forth here. Pete, excited, man, for Monday night. This ought to be a good one.
You know, I did not expect when I looked at the schedule, I will have to admit, that this game would be for first place in the NFC North already this season. I mean, the Lions are much better than I thought they would be. I'm not sure that you feel the same way.
Yeah, no, I do. I think 2-1-1, you know, you looked at the schedule at the start of the year and you said, all right, if you're in Detroit, we never go to Arizona and win. Then you got to come home and play Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. Then you got to go to Philly. And oh, yeah, great time to finish up the first quarter of the season with the Chiefs. And yet here are the Lions sitting at 2-1-1, should be 3-1, and had every opportunity 2 weeks ago to beat Kansas City. So it's been a good start. What about there? Packers all of a sudden have a defense and a running game. And Rodgers didn't even have a Rodgers-esque game on Sunday, yet they still won by double digits in Dallas.
Yeah, and did so without Devontae Adams. You know, this is a team that has been manufacturing ways to win. And it seems like every time I do our Monday recap show, I'm saying, you know, the Packers didn't play their best, and they won, obviously, with the exception being the loss to the Eagles when they didn't play their best and they lost. But it's been a different story every game, it seems. The defense won them a game in week one. The offense gets out to the hot start in week two. You know, they have this combination, I guess you could say, last week against the Eagles. But then, you know, they are not able to get a win. The defense, I thought, played well at times. But you give up 34 points at home and you're probably going to lose. In Dallas, I mean, that was – it really, despite the final score, was more or less a butt-kicking. And that was not something that I saw coming, certainly going into that game without Devontae Adams, even without Tyron Smith for the Cowboys. So this is still a work in progress for the Packers, and I think that's the scary thing for the rest of the NFC North.
No, I'm with you. I think I look at the – first of all, I think the Lions have a shot in this game, and – you know, I think most Detroit fans are thinking, oh, gosh, Monday night at Green Bay, and we're not getting Lambeau Field with Brett Huntley or whomever. It's Aaron Rodgers this time, you know. But I think the Lions match up okay with the Packers. I see some things that they can exploit. But let's get back to this Packer defense thing, Pete, because quite honestly, it's been a while since you could say there's some real studs over on that side of the ball. How did this all kind of take flight, and all of a sudden now even Aaron Rodgers after that first game saying we've got a defense finally?
Well, I think you have to go back to the offseason they had, not this past offseason, but the offseason prior. They move on from Dom Capers, and I think just the upgrade of Mike Patton to Dom Capers, or excuse me, from Dom Capers to Mike Patton would have been, you know, sort of seminal moment in this team's recent history. But then they also transition to Brian Gutekunst from Ted Thompson. He goes out and he has a draft that includes Jair Alexander, that includes Josh Jackson, Oren Burks. And all of a sudden, those guys are looking like, at least in the case of Jair Alexander, looking like foundational pieces in this defense. Then this most recent offseason, sign Adrian Amos, sign Za'Darius Smith, sign Preston Smith, get not one but two edge rushers, trade up in the first round to get Darnell Savage. Rashawn Gary, who they got at 12, is playing important snaps for them at outside linebacker, can play on the inside as well, and all of a sudden, you have players. When you look at what the Packers' defense was in previous seasons, when they were one of the worst situational defenses in football, bad on third down and bad in the red zone, what I've always said is in those situations, you can have great scheme, and Mike Pettine is a great schemer of defense, but you need dudes. You need players, and they just didn't have them. You need your top pass rusher on 3rd and 8 to go hunt Dak Prescott. We saw Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith do that. That's the difference in this defense year over year. They lead the league right now. For all the talk about Mike Pettine's designer blitz schemes, and they're fun to look at and dissect, they lead the league in pressure off four-man rush. You can be a great defense when you lead the league in four-man pressure. And for the Lions, you know, they went through a transformation on the defense themselves. Where would you, you know, assess their defenses at this point in the season?
I think the transformation's just Matt Patricia and the system, and it's finally starting to take some shape. I know last year at the start of the year, the defense was brutal. Week one against the Jets was a disaster. Sam Darnold in his first ever start comes in and lights them up at Ford Field. And the next week, it was the Matt Breida show, and all of a sudden you're 0-2, and you're like, wait a minute. I thought Patricia was a defensive coach. Well, you know, what's going on here? And now this year, it's kind of crazy because at the start of the year, it was, man, look at this defensive line. They sign Trey Flowers and give him $18 million. They get Mike Daniels from the Packers, and you and I will talk about that. They already have Romeo Okwara, A'shaun Robinson, Deshaun Hand, Devon Kennard on the outside. This D line's going to be ferocious. They're going to be all over the quarterback. This is going to be like, you know, the old days with the Silver Rush and Bubba Baker and all this stuff. And it turns out that really this year, the reason the defense has been successful is they've had, especially on passing downs, they've been playing basically a 3-8 where they've been rushing three and the quarterback has had time to throw, but he has nowhere to throw it. I mean, those eight guys back there in coverage are on a string, mostly man, sometimes zone, and then they're covering their people. So, you know, you saw Mahomes a little rattled a couple of weeks ago, like, where am I going to go with the football? There's nobody open. Same thing goes with Wentz. Albeit when he had open receivers, they were dropping the football a couple of weeks ago, and even Phillip Rivers to an extent the week before. So this sort of 3-8 look where Patricia's got things cooking in the back end with some extra safeties on the field, some extra corners, some linebackers with some athleticism, and it's working. And you know, yes, we saw the Colts hand the Chiefs a loss the other day, and you look at Kansas City, you go, well, they had 34 points against the Lions. The Lions defense played pretty well and kind of kept Mahomes in check. No touchdown passes, no touchdown runs. So I think it's more system. Yes, they've added some good young players. We mentioned the D-line guys. Tracy Walker, the safety, is starting to come on. I think he's an upgrade from Glover Quinn. Justin Coleman in the slot as a cornerback and a free agent signee is a definite upgrade from last year, and so is Rashawn Melvin. So they're playing pretty well. Yeah, they've been good. So, you know, obviously it's a different animal. You know, you're going up to Lambeau on Monday night with Aaron Rodgers, and who knows? But I think in the past, Peter, Lions fans would have said, yeah, like the Lions are going to go into Lambeau and win on Monday night. Give me a break. But the Lions moved a little bit in the Lions' favor. I think people in Vegas are starting to take note maybe of the Lions having a shot in this game, and then I am too. I think it could come down to special teams. Obviously, Matt Prater's been pretty good, so I'm excited to see how they do. But again, boy, if Adams is healthy, the way Jones is running the football, it might not be an easy night for the Lions. This Aaron Jones thing, is this all Matt LaFleur? What's up with that?
Well, I think Aaron Jones has been good really from the jump. There was a free Aaron Jones movement among not just Packer fans, but smart media people. And I don't mean to be condescending about that. I think there were some smart people, I think, who are smart, thought Aaron Jones should get the ball more. I didn't mean to imply that, you know, only you had to be smart to see that. But it was one of those things where, you know, he was fighting with Jamal Williams for playing time last year, and it was pretty clear that he was the better running back. And he made his breakout game was 2 years ago as a rookie against the Dallas Cowboys, and has led the league in rushing on a per carry basis, has been really good the last 2 years. And the Packers run offense has low key been very good. Top 10 in rushing efficiency, I believe top 5 the last 2 years. So it has always sort of been there. Mike McCarthy just hasn't committed to it. And that's part of why Matt LaFleur was brought in, because the run game with the run action game, which is a foundational piece of what he wants to do schematically, is, you know, it fits what this team is and what they can be. Elgton Jenkins has come in at that left guard spot for Lane Taylor and been awesome, not just in the run game, but as a pass protector. So if the Packers are going to be effective, they need to be able to run the ball against Matt Patricia, as you laid out. If he wants to play light, Green Bay has to be able to make them pay for that by running the ball effectively. And I was just looking at some stats that said Green Bay's offense on first and second down is one of the most efficient in football. They've been having some issues on third down, which is part of the reason the offense has not taken off in a way that I think people thought it could or think it eventually will. And it's not because they're not being good on first and second down. They consistently are. So that part of it is something that they're going to have to stay committed to and continue to grow and evolve with. And it seems like Aaron Jones, I mean, you have a guy that gets four touchdowns. Any questions about whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to be okay with better balance? I think Green Bay has split first down exactly in half run and pass for the season right now.
Wow.
Those questions are answered, in my view. So they just have to stay committed to it, especially against a team like the Lions, who have this stout front, Snacks Harrison, Mike Daniels, Trey Flowers, and all these guys who can win their one-on-one matchups. You have to stay with that. I want to jump around to the defense again, though, because what you said really stood out to me. When I think back to the way you stop prime Aaron Rodgers, and we do not have prime Aaron Rodgers anymore. We do not see that guy anymore. We see him in spurts, but this is, I don't think anyone is under any illusions that the guy that is currently under center for Green Bay is that guy, right? But the way you did it was you rushed four, and you dropped in coverage, and you played two deep safeties, and you played man coverage, and you threw the rhythm of the offense off. It's the same way you beat Patrick Mahomes right now. It's the same thing the Colts did. It's the same thing the Lions did. And I think you're going to see very much the same program against Green Bay. My question, I guess, is, you know, from a matchup standpoint, Darius Slay has had problems with Davante Adams in the past. Darius Slay said on my show, Davante Adams is the toughest cover in the league. So do you think if Davante Adams plays in this game that the Matt Patricia defense decides to take a little bit different tact when it comes to handling their pass coverage responsibilities?
You know, that's a good question. First of all, Slay is not 100%. He did not play in the Kansas City game 2 weeks ago. And again, the Lions are off a bye for your listeners, Peter. And Slay slowed by a hamstring that he suffered in the Chiefs game, and suffered in the game before against Philly. So, that's a good question. To say they're going to do anything different, I think they want Slay on Adams, and I think that Darius Slay has something to prove. And certainly you're right, Devontae has been had his number in recent past. I think the Lions have a lot of versatility. You know, if Quandre Diggs is healthy, and that's another guy that got hurt in the Chiefs game, but Diggs is a guy that can play all over the field. He can be that strong safety that they want, but if he has to go into coverage in a five-wide situation for Green Bay or whatever you guys, the Packers, end up doing, he can cover people. Same goes for Justin Coleman, who's been fantastic. The free agent pickup signed for $9 million a year. People are going, $9 million a year for a slot corner? What the hell's that? This is typical Lions. No, he's been their best pickup, draft or free agency, and he's been as advertised and has played outside, inside, and has done a great job. So, you know, let's say Adams goes in the slot and they move guys around and Coleman has to guard him. I think a couple of weeks ago you would have said Slay's got to be on Adams no matter what. Now I think if Coleman's on Adams, I don't think the Lions feel that's anything bad at all. And, we'll see what happens. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll dive more into this, get into a little bit about the Green Bay offense. And I want to follow up on something Peter said about prime Aaron Rodgers. What about prime Matthew Stafford? We'll do that next right here on the Locked On Crossover on a Wednesday. All right, let's talk about betting on the games, and there's only one place to go for NFL action, betting on the games, putting some money down, Patriots-Giants tomorrow night. How about mybookie.ag, all right? Game-winning touchdowns, two-minute drives, nothing like the NFL, and the Lions are playing. on Sunday. They're not playing until Monday. So Sunday, you want to sit down and put some dollars down on the action. The place to go is mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. All right, they've got the fastest payouts, the better lines than any other sports book. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you are betting on. That's why mybookie.ag is the best in the business. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with them. All right, if you like to bet a little bit, win a lot, you try a parlay, first half bets, second half bets, multiplying your winnings, whatever it takes, you do it at mybookie.ag. Their lines are the best too. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. $100 in, they'll give you $100. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. Get that free money, all right? They'll double your first deposit just by using the promo code. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Matt and Peter back. Locked on Lions, Locked on Packers, crossover edition on this Wednesday. Peter, before the break, you said prime Aaron Rodgers. Did you say prime Aaron Rodgers is gone?
Well, I mean, the guy that we saw in 2011, the guy we saw in 2014, I don't think he can control games the way that he used to. But, I mean, look, we saw him not that long ago against Philadelphia. I mean, we're talking about 2 weeks ago, throw for 422 yards and slice and dice a defense. We saw a couple throws against Dallas that were just preposterous. He can still be a really good player, someone who can take over games. But I think he's in a different phase of his career now. He's sort of in that late career Drew Brees, late career Tom Brady, late career, you know, I'm not Peyton Manning because Peyton Manning was a noodle arm at the end. But I think it's more about him picking and choosing his spots. I mean, he said after the Cowboys game that despite the statistics, he felt like it was his best game of the year because of the way he was seeing the field. I don't think you would have heard Aaron Rodgers say that in 2014 or 2016 even.
Right.
He's all about winning now. And so if that means handing the ball to Aaron Jones at the goal line, if that means touchdowns, he's all about it. So I think it's about him recognizing that what he needs to do for this team is potentially different than what he would want to do just in a vacuum.
Wow. I mean, I think if you look at it from a Detroit perspective, you're looking up and going, uh-oh, the Packers are 4-1. Rodgers is healthy. He usually carves up the Lions. The fans, you know, that was still pretty recently that he came into Ford Field and threw that Hail Mary and beat the Lions on that Thursday night. So, I think Lions fans hearing this, Peter, that are listening to my podcast right now are going, oh, really? Because I think they view Rodgers as being this unbelievably awesome quarterback. And look, on the other side, Stafford is – you kind of describe Stafford a little bit. Not saying Stafford's out of his prime. He's still in his prime, but – the numbers are not going to be there like they used to be, the gaudy numbers, the throwing 40, 50 times in a game. The Lions want to run the football with Daryl Bevell now. They think they've got their guy in Kerryon Johnson, and Stafford's kind of managing the game more. Now, he's had some games where he's had to make big throws. He did that against the Chiefs, hitting Galladay for what appeared to be the go-ahead touchdown, but of course Kansas City came down and scored. So Stafford's had his moments here this year and has looked pretty good, but you know, again, those gunslinging days of, you know, as we like to call it, Stat Padford, are gone. And but I still contend, and I said this on my show Monday, I think Stafford's going to have a, I'm not saying a Dak-like performance, but I watched your game Sunday, and, you know, you know, guys running free deep down the field a lot. I know Alexander had an off day trying to cover Amari Cooper, but I think that if it turns into that type of game, I think Stafford's going to have to deliver. And I think Galladay is going to have to be that guy. And if Hockenson is healthy, middle of the field tight end with as a big target, may be the way the Lions win that game.
Well, and let me you know frame this back and get your perspective on it, because I feel like Matt Stafford is having a very underrated season. You know, the numbers are not there the way that they were, you know, when he threw for 5,000 yards and he's slinging the ball to Calvin Johnson and he's putting up 300 yards a game. That's not this Matt Stafford, but I was just looking at some numbers that had him running on a points added per play basis, was one of the like six or eight best QBs in the league this year, ahead of guys like Brady, Wentz, and Rodgers. And I feel like, I mean, I'm watching that Kansas City game, for example, he was able to make the throws that he needed to make when he needed to make them. And if they have TJ Hockenson, if they can run the ball with Kerryon Johnson, this offense, it looks as good potentially, you know, in terms of a ceiling, as I can remember the Lions looking, and I think if you're a Packers fan, that's got to be a little bit scary.
I think a good matchup, too, is this offensive line. The Lions' O-line's been pretty solid. Taylor Decker in week one against Arizona, something was wrong with his back. He had his worst game and ended up sitting out week two, and the Lions couldn't stop the edge rushers from getting to Matthew Stafford. But then since then, Stafford really hasn't been touched. It's been the O-line's done a nice job, especially in pass protection. Run game got much better against the Chiefs. I'm still not sold 100% yet that they're going to keep that up. But you know, the matchup there with what, like you mentioned, the Smith brothers and certainly Kenny Clark's a beast. I think the Lions O-line's going to have their hands full, you know, with what Green Bay's bringing to the table. And look, I saw the holes that the Packer O-line opened up for Jones, Sunday. Those two bookend tackles for the Packers right now, and they've always been good, Bakhtiari and Bulaga, but boy, they've been dominant so far, huh?
They have, and ESPN has a pass rush win metric that they use, and it's based on tracking data and a lot of different things. But David Bakhtiari, Corey Linsley, and the rookie Elgton Jenkins are all in the top 10 at their respective positions. Linsley is second among centers, and Elgton Jenkins, I believe, is second among guards. Brian Bulaga, per Pro Football Focus, has not allowed a quarterback hit, much less a sack this season. So I think the way that you laid out Matt Patricia wanting to play against Aaron Rodgers, that, you know, sort of mush rush three or four guys and drop everyone in coverage, it's the best way to attack this Packers offense anyway for the Lions, because Green Bay's offensive line has been so stout. Unless you have, you know, Everson Griffin and Daniel Hunter, it's going to be hard for anyone to generate consistent pressure, or, you know, Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack. It's going to be hard for anyone to consistently pressure Rodgers. This has been one of the best pass-blocking lines in the league for a long time. And then when they're opening runs, I mean, what they did to Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch against the Cowboys, it was disrespectful.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
They dominated that matchup, and that includes Aaron Jones shaking Leighton Vander Esch in the open field about half a dozen times. I was like, you might have to go back to middle school to see the last time that Vander Esch was dominated in a game the way that Aaron Jones did. I mean, it was really a sight to behold. I'm interested in this point about the Lions' offensive line, because when I look at Green Bay's front with the edge rushers that they have and the interior players like Kenny Clark and the force that they can bring to bear with these designer blitzes, Matthew Stafford has had some success in the past getting after capers trying to get cute with blitzes. Do you feel like this offense is built to withstand what the Packers can bring defensively with this pass rush, and do they have like the weapons on the outside, for example, if Matthew Stafford has to get the ball out quick? Can he do that, and can these guys get open for him if the pass rush is coming after him?
I do, and I think that, like I said, I think part of it is that the Lions' offensive line, and Graham Glasgow being one of these guys at right guard, has gotten better. Ragnow at center is very, very good. You know, the tackles, is this the game that Decker and Wagner struggle? And it's possible. It is. I'm not in love with those guys. Like I said, Decker in week one, if you go back and watch the Arizona tape, was brutal. I think he was hurt. Because he sat out week two.
He was the Cardinals MVP in that game.
Yes, he was. So this could be that game. Peter, I'm not ruling that out. But, you know, the play calling's better. The Jim Bob Cooter days of Stafford taking the shotgun snap and taking seven steps and looking and throwing are over. They've got some quick hitters that they've been doing, some misdirection. Daryl Bevel's got guys in motion. They've rolled Stafford out. I like so far what I've seen from Bevel. I think part of slowing down what the Packers are going to bring to the table with their front is Bevel kind of doing some things offensively to throw them off. So that's where I think the Lions could have an advantage with Bevel is some of the play calling. Last thing for you, for me, Mike Daniels, what kind of reception will he get? And are you surprised he's been hurt and really hasn't been effective yet for the Lions?
I think he will get a raucous ovation. Mike Daniels was a beloved player in Green Bay. He left not of his own accord. I think Packer fans were not devastated, but they were upset that Green Bay moved on and was not able to find a trade partner for him. I'm still shocked that that's the case, given what the Lions eventually paid him, unless Detroit sort of bid against themselves in this instance. And I'm not sure, you know, we don't have all the machinations of what went down there. But I think Packer fans are going to be happy to see him, happy to cheer for him, if for no other reason than, like I said, he was cut, not asked to be traded or sign anything else like that. And then the Packers defense has been awesome. So it's sort of like, you know, if you break up with someone and then you start dating someone that you really like, it's easier to see that person, right? I mean, that's just human nature. And I think Packer fans are, you know, they're dating the quarterback of the football team, they're dating the head cheerleader, whatever analogy you want to use. They love Za'Darius and Preston Smith and Kenny Clark and Darnell Savage and Adrian Amos and everything about this defense, the swagger that they play with, the turnovers, the sacks, the posing for pictures after they create turnovers. I mean, they love this defense. I think seeing Mike Daniels, they got over the Mike Daniels thing in week one. I mean, really. They were like, what happened? How could this happen? And yet you win a game against Chicago when Adrian Amos picks off Mitch Trubisky in the end zone in just a chef's kiss perfect moment for Packers fans. You know, it takes the sting out of the Mike Daniels bit of this. So, like I said, I think he'll get a warm reception. You know, my final question to you as we wrap up the crossover is, you know, this Matt Patricia thing, and I say that because it encompasses a lot.
I know where this is going. Yeah,
laugh,
sure.
But you know what I mean. There is a vibe about him, and there is a lot of things about him that have been clowned by the media, by opposing fans, and yet here Detroit is in position to potentially be a playoff team this year in what is a pretty quick turnaround. And I guess I'm just wondering what you see as his impact on this team and how you would assess his performance to this point, because he has been a little bit of a running joke in a lot of ways. But I just it seems like on the field, you can't make any jokes right now about Detroit.
Well, I think that this game Monday night is it's not exactly going to be a referendum on him. I liked your use of the word machinations earlier. I don't know if it's the referendum game or not, but I will say this. If the Lions go in on Monday night and look like they belong and somehow win or even lose in tight fashion and you know, I think that would sell a lot of the fan base on him. Now, with that being said, there are still some, including me, that question his usage of timeouts at the end of halves. I don't understand why the Lions go into the locker room at halftime with timeouts in their back pocket constantly. The challenge flag. They challenged a spot or something like that in the first quarter of the Chiefs game, and then there were a couple of plays late in the game against Kansas City that were pass interference, and I understand now anybody that challenges PI seems to lose it, but he had that chance and didn't do it. So those are still questions being asked, but about the scheme and about his defense and how well they've played and how they've kind of shut down the Riverses and the Wentzes and the Mahomeses have, I think, got the fan base sold a little bit. But this game Monday night, let's say if the Lions go into Green Bay and just get worked and get blown out, and Patricia, you're right, looks like, you know, he's got the pencil in the hat and everybody's making fun, and that'll continue. But this game Monday certainly would be a nice boost for him from a consistency standpoint and fans going, wow, you know, it's one thing to go into Lambeau and beat Brett Huntley or even last year when the game meant nothing. But now you do this here on this Monday night stage with a team at 2-1-1 and then that team at 4-1. You talk about some doubters that would naysayers that would be quiet. I think that would be the case with Patricia. But right now, I think fans are still not sold just yet.
It's a show me game.
No doubt. No doubt about it. All right, Peter, I think the Lions lose. I think this is going to be like a 23-21 final for Green Bay. What do you think?
You know, I like it in that range a little bit. You know, Vegas right now as we record has it 4.5, but it opened at 6. I think it's closer to that 6 or 7. I'm thinking more like 31-24, something in there, maybe 27-20, 27-21. But I think Green Bay gets the win. I do think Detroit acquits itself nicely. I don't think this is going to be a game where the Lions just just no show. This is not your slightly older brother's Lions. This is a team that can absolutely come in and hang with Green Bay, in my opinion. I think they're being overlooked a little bit by the national media, and not by Vegas, by the way.
All right, Peter, that was fun, man. Pleasure. We'll do it again later in the year.
We will indeed. Look forward to it.
All right, there it is, the Locked On crossover for a Wednesday with Peter Bukowski from the Packers. We thank Peter for joining us here. Man, oh, man, it sounds like Green Bay is in love with their defense. You hear what Peter said. They've done a really good job. I was talking to my man Al about this today. The Packers and Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, has done a really good job drafting and signing free agent players for not that much money, getting good value in free agency on defense. With the two Smiths and the safeties and some of the guys that they brought in, the Packers have done very well. You know, Kenny Clark was a draft pick. They've done a nice job. But I still think the Lions can find a way to exploit some of those matchups down the field. I do. And I think the Packers are going to be very, very overconfident. Very overconfident going into this game. How about Peter saying, it's not prime Aaron Rodgers anymore. That's a little scary. So we'll have to wait and see. And hopefully Snacks Harrison is back and ready to go tomorrow at practice. We'll have to find out. All right, Locked On Lions, the crossover today brought to you by MyBookie and by Blue Chew. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.